Best advice I've ever had in my life. Preach the word. What a wonderful privilege it is. You know, you all put up with so much. Fortunately, we've got David and Lauren here so that you don't have to just have this one guy drone on and on and on in your sermons. But thank you so much for loving the word, that even with clumsy speakers like me, you can be excited about learning the gospel of Christ and about following it in your lives. I see your faith. I see your excitement. I see the obedience of your lives, and it is very exciting. It is very encouraging. David, I just realized, where's David Wolf go? I just realized, you know, we're working, you know, you shouldn't have to work on your birthday. I didn't realize, you said you had a sore throat. It's just old age, David, I think that's all it is. He turns 60, what? 70, 60, 74. You're 74 today. All right.
Almost as old as CB.
Yeah. No, he's 52, if I got it right. Excited to see Sally here after recovering, in her recovery from her surgery. That's a thrill. So let's rejoice in that. Let's go to our Father in prayer before we begin the lesson. Precious Lord, dear Father, you are an awesome God. Your magnificence is infinite, so that we can always wake up excited to learn about you, to see what new thing you have for us, what new aspect of your word or of our lives that we're to learn from. Father, you are infinitely powerful, but also infinitely good, and we are thrilled that your goodness leads us to you, that we might know you and have you, and you have us forever and ever and ever. Please help us to be aware of those things. Help us to obey those things. Help us to seek more ways to obey you and to bring you glory in this life, that we might bring many to know your Son, that they too might live with you forever. Help us in this lesson now, that your truth would prick our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had a miniature crisis Friday. I couldn't find my glasses. If you knew me well, you'd know that there is every day there's something I can't find. I won't tell you that I still haven't found my wallet, but that's never mind about that. I lose my keys so badly that I now have to have several sets of the same keys so that I can always find one of them. But I had to go back to my old glasses, which I stepped on a couple of months ago. So now not only are they scratched and worn and chipped, they're now scratched, worn, chipped, and cracked right down the middle. So I was about to go to the men's retreat with the cracked, chipped, worn, and chipped, scratched glasses. And now, and just at the last minute, I found my glasses, and these are only scratched. So, see, not only do I lose things, but I set them down in awkward places.
And you said I was old.
Exactly. But vision is so critical to the way we live our lives. We are constantly making sure that we have clear vision. The media people are constantly bringing us things that we can see better and interact with better. It used to be you just listened to music. It used to be you had to have somebody playing music to listen to it. By the last century, you could listen to music in a room where nobody was playing it. You could just get a plastic disc or a plastic vinyl plate and play music without anybody playing it in the room. Well, now you don't just do that. Now you listen to music while you're watching things, so that music is visual as well. But one of the problems with vision is it deteriorates as you get old. God is interested in vision, and he talks to us about vision. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, shortly after what Mogens read to us, God talks to us about our vision. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. David, there's hope for us. The outer man's wearing down. The inner man is being renewed. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. You can just read temporary in there if you like. Temporal means within time, within the space of timeness. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of my goals as a minister here, as a teacher here, as a preacher here, one of my goals for your life can be wrapped up in the word confidence. I've talked about it many times in many aspects. Confidence. I want you to live confident lives. Because even faith can be lived timidly. That's not where Scripture calls us to, but faith can be lived timidly. Well, yes, I do believe, and I try to follow. Even faith can be lived timidly. I want us to live confident lives, so that our faith is confident, so that our knowledge is confident, so that our obedience is confident. So that our relationships are confident. Our eternity is confident. Reflecting on our life here, which is lived confidently. And confidence equals vision. Or at least is absolutely connected to vision. Do you turn on the light when you walk through a dark room at night? It depends, right? It depends on how confident you are that you know where the, remember where the furniture is and that the children didn't leave something on the floor and that the extension cord wasn't strung in a direction you didn't know about. The night before I wrote this lesson, as I was writing these very words, the night before I had walked across the living room, down the side of the living room, back toward the bedroom. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to turn the light on. I don't need the light on. I'm not going to turn the light on. Because I remember where everything is. And as I was walking across the living room, I remembered, no, nothing happened. I wish I had a funny story to tell you. But I remembered that the family had just shared with me a comic routine that they had heard. Tim Hawkins is a Christian-based comic. Carol and the boys had been watching some of his clips, and he refers to pain. He says, "Women, I give you the pain of childbirth, greatest pain a human naturally goes through. But there's one right next to that, very close, and that's the pain of stepping on a Lego in the middle of the night." He goes on to say, "I think children sharpen those things." You hop down the hallway trying to get a Lego out of from being embedded in your bare foot. You see, confidence is absolutely related to vision, and walking through darkness does not necessarily equal confidence. But that's exactly what we've got. That's exactly where we are, and this chapter explains that to us. And it's kind of in a backwards way. You see, we are living in a dark world. We're living in a world that's shrouded by sin, darkened by the lies of Satan. And we just read, Mogens just read for us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. Even if our gospel is veiled, unseen, can't be seen, darkness, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. There's a blindness. Vision, the vision we're talking about equals truth. Truth knowing, truth seeing, truth connecting, truth obedience. The blindness we're talking about is equal to lies. Buying into the lies. Shoving away the truth. Choosing darkness rather than light. But we've got this problem. And the conundrum is this. We live in a physical, visual world. We absolutely live in a visual world. Everything we do, and I give to those who are blind the difficulty and the combination they have. Fanny Crosby, who wrote a number of the songs in our songbook, she wrote over 8,000 songs in her life. 8,000 songs in her life. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Okay, Fanny Crosby. That and a whole bunch of other ones that you love. She called herself and those who were blind that she knew the blessed ones. Because she considered the fact that the first sight she would have, the first real vision that she would have in her life would be that of God in heaven. She wouldn't have to go through the temporary confusion of all the sight of the distracting things of this world. We live in a visual world and we serve an invisible God. The Bible doesn't shrink away from that. In John chapter 1, verse 18, John writes to us that no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. In other words, God is spirit. We read that in John 4, etc., etc., and plenty of other places. God is spirit, and no one's seen God in the physical sense. You do not, cannot, will not see God. And not only that, even the Christ who came, and that's what the rest of the verse says, right? The only begotten Son, or the only begotten God, the Son of God. He's explained, Jesus, walking on this earth, has explained the invisible God. So the visible Christ has shown us the invisible God. Well, thanks a lot. We don't get to see Him either. Do we? No. But the Bible acknowledges that point too. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, writing to the church, knows that the Christians who've now been baptized into Christ do not have what he had. He lived, walked, touched, ate, listened to the Son of God. And he's writing to brothers and sisters of ours who've never done that. And he says in verse 6, after the magnificent promises of God's salvation, in this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ, and though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory. We have a God who no one has ever seen. And we have a Savior who thousands saw, but we don't. We don't get to see this Christ, this salvation of ours that was shown, this revelation of God that was explained in the walk of Jesus the man. The Bible says, I know you haven't seen it. God reassures us, I know you have not seen him, and you do not see him, and you have not seen me, but you can see. And that's the point of today's lesson, is that vision, real, permanent vision, has nothing to do with glasses, scratched or not. Has nothing to do with eye appointments or glaucoma or the other things that we have repaired in our vision to make sure we can eke out a few more years of sighted life here. Or the struggle that Fanny Crosby and millions of others have with blindness. You see, you do not see God and the things that he wants you to look at, but you do see. You don't see, but you do see. You see? I know. Let's go back to a story that happened to Jesus as part of the explanation of this. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's a great story. It's a great story to study all by itself. John 9. John chapter 9. Because today, what I want us to do is sharpen our vision of what we can't see. We're going to sharpen our vision of what we can't see, because that's what we're supposed to be looking at. You don't see God. You don't see Christ. You don't see the past. You don't see the future. But God has things for you to be looking at. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither this man that sinned nor his parents, but it was so the works of God might be displayed in him. God had a point to teach us. And he uses this man's blindness to do it. Great story. We're not going to go into the details. This is the one where Jesus rubbed mud, put it on the man's eyes, told the man to go wash in the pool. Man went and washed in the pool. He could see. He was rejoicing. The crowd was confused. I thought this was the blind man. His parents were confused, saying, I have no idea what happened. The priests were confused, saying, what's going on here? Who gave you your sight? And who authorized? Everybody was confused and mad. Till finally the end of the story, the man in being thrown out by the priests, being basically abandoned by his parents and confused by his friends, one goes off and sits by himself. And in verse 35 of John 9, Jesus heard that they had put him out. He was thrown out. And finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said, you have both seen him, and he's the one talking to you. I love that, because the blind man had never seen Jesus before. He had the personal interaction with Christ. Jesus had made the mud, rubbed it on his eyes, and told him to go wash. By the time the man washes and can see, Jesus is long gone. He's never seen him, and Jesus says, you've seen me. In the man's blindness, he saw the Son of God. He saw the Christ. He saw, specifically here, the Son of Man. Jesus says he's the one talking to you. And the man says, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world so that those who do not see may see. And that those who see may become blind. Those who were of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, we're not blind too, are we? This is the one. This is the verse to underline and look at and think about tonight before you go to bed. Verse 41. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. I'm sorry? What was that? If you were blind, you'd be fine. But since you claim to have sight, you're blind. Basically, is what he says. Like almost everything else he touches, God turns this one upside down too. We're supposed to be looking at what you can't see. So what our physical vision really does for us is it adds another layer of arrogance that we have to climb over and get rid of to see what we're supposed to be seeing. Are you blind? And the answer we're supposed to give God in Christ is, yes, Lord, I am blind. Good. I can work with the blind. I can help you. When you stand before God and say, I can see what's going on, he says, I can't help you. When you acknowledge your blindness, when you acknowledge your need for me, when you say that I can't see, then I'll give you light that you can see with. We are so stuck in this visual demanding world. We are so stuck with making things look better, seem better. We can put a front on anything. We can cover up and surface over and glaze over anything. We can make anything pretty. And even beauty isn't good enough. In an article titled The Dumbest Question in the Universe, do you know that early last month we had a Miss Universe contest? I didn't either. Missed it. Missed the whole thing. How do we get a Miss Universe contest? We're just one little planet. I don't know. Sure she's the prettiest one in the universe? Oh, after looking at the ladies in this room, I know she's not. How about that for a line? Miss Angola won this year. Seems to be an attractive woman inside and out. So it goes down to the last five finalists. They're all standing across the... Miss USA wasn't up there. Last five finalists in the Miss Universe contest. This happened in Brazil. Laila Lopez of Angola was one of the finalists. And the judge asked her, quote, this was her question, the big question, right? The big question near the end. If you could change one of your physical characteristics, which one would it be and why? I appreciate the writer of the article. Dumbest question in the universe. You've got this beautiful woman standing in front of you who is being judged upon judgment upon judgment upon judgment to see if she just looks perfect enough. Just is everything about her just perfect enough to be considered the prettiest woman on the planet. And the judge says, if you could be prettier, what would you do? Are you kidding me? That level of beauty isn't sufficient. You want to get into a young woman's mind to say, you are among the prettiest women on the planet, and I want you to keep analyzing yourself to see if you could get prettier. What are you dissatisfied about? Your physical attraction, your physical characteristics. The woman answered quite nicely. Thank God I am well, very well satisfied with the way God created me, and I wouldn't change a thing. I consider myself a woman endowed with inner beauty. I have acquired many wonderful principles from my family, and I plan to follow these through the rest of my life. We are so visually focused that even at that level of beauty, even at that level of perfection, and you know, in the modeling and in the advertising world, you can never be good looking enough. You know, in the Hollywood world, you have to keep pulling, pushing, and changing and modifying because you're never good looking enough. Your stuff, your house never looks good enough. Your stuff is never good enough. Your car is never quite shiny enough. We are so stuck in this physical world. We don't realize how blind we are. Jesus says, if you think you see, you're blind. If you tell me you're blind, then I can work with you. We need a totally different kind of vision. We need a totally different kind of vision in order to see the things we're supposed to see. So in 2 Corinthians 4, what is this stuff that you can't see that we're supposed to be looking at? What is the unseen that we're supposed to be looking at? The first of it is, it's the truth of what has already passed. The truth of the past is totally unseen for us. You will never see the creation of this world. You will never see the preparation God went through to give us the world that we currently have. Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. All of the past, all of what God did through Israel, the parting of the Red Sea, the miracles before Pharaoh, Jonah being swallowed by a whale and dragged back across the Mediterranean Ocean. Your vision should see those things and know those things and be confident of those things by the light of God. You'll never see them, but you need to see them. One famous speaker said, as people try to justify the whale swallowing Jonah, one famous speaker says, I have no problem with God telling us a whale swallowed Jonah. I don't need them to find a fish with a throat big enough or a whale with a stomach big enough to hold a man. If the Bible said Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe it. I don't need evidence to trust what my Heavenly Father put in His Word. We need to see the truth of the past. Number two, we need to see the truth of the future. Jesus says to us that He is going to prepare a place for us. He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'm going to come back in John chapter 14. If it wasn't so, I'd tell you. We need to trust in the future that God has for us and in the judgment of Jesus Christ. Judgment, salvation, and eternity in heaven. You won't see it in this life, but you need to see it. That which you cannot see is where we need to be looking. And finally, in Romans chapter 8, we need to see the truth of the spiritual. The truth of spirit existence. We need to understand who we are. Who we are. We talked a few weeks ago about that we don't have a soul. You don't have a soul. Don't think of yourself as having a soul. Think of yourself as being a soul and you have a body. You are a soul. You are spiritual. You are temporarily in your body. You have a body. In Romans 8, starting in verse 23, And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we've been saved. But hope that is seen is no hope. Who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we eagerly await it. We hope for, we focus on, we look for, we look at that which we can't see. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the spiritual forces of evil and the conflict that's going on in the spirit world. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us about angels that are ministers that serve us, even though they don't participate in our salvation. They do God's will in serving us. We need to believe and see the things that you can't see. The truth of the past, the truth of the future, the truth of the spirit conflicts, and the things that are going on now. So let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll wrap up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look with me at verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. That's a direct connection to God being creator. The God who, when everything was darkness, by his words created light. That God is the one, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, 6, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. You need illumination. The illumination you need to see comes from the Creator God and is put into your heart. Doesn't literally flow out in front of you like a flashlight. It illuminates the inside that you can see what you really need to see. Therefore, when we get down to verse 18, we've been given an illumination, a vision, an ability to see spiritually, so that, verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. I'd love to read through the whole thing, but we don't have time. Just look at verse 7 of chapter 5. The idea continues. Verse 7 of chapter 5. For we walk by, what is it? Faith, not by sight. Satan is using lie upon lie, blindness upon blindness, to blind and confuse people not to see the truth of God and the truth of what is eternal. Let's sharpen our real vision. Let's look at what really lasts. The magnificence of God's past, the magnificence of God's future, and the power of God's present. If there's any today who have not baptized into Christ, if there's anything we can do to help you in that, if you're ready, we can baptize you right now. If you're at the point of understanding God's word but have questions that you need answered, we want to help you with that. But don't let today go by without sharpening your vision on that which is important and needs to be seen. A song has been selected for us. Let's stand and sing. Please come if we can help you.